Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for the Gigabytes Cafe Rambles / podcast. So if you don't know, we're now going to be on podcast platforms such as Spotify, Google Play, Pocket Casts. There's a whole bunch. Hopefully the iTunes one at some point. But they have their whole process they have to go through to get those approved. But for now, we are live. So what's up, y'all?
So thanks for joining us on the stream.
It's another rainy day.
Yeah, no, here in Atlanta, it's
same here.
The weather is gorgeous. But we'll be going through new releases that have just come out this week. And it is the week of December 21st, 2018. So with it, we're seeing kind of like the last waves before the beginning of the new year. And there's been a lot of cool stuff that's dropped from 40K to Monsterpocalypse to Star Wars Legion. And even some board game expansions out. So we'll be talking about that. And then Mark will also be kind of doing an expose on Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, the new edition that just dropped. And do you remember the name of the company that makes the new edition?
Cubicle 7, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Cubicle 7. So they got the license and they're doing a bunch of the role-playing variants. And I think they're even doing Age of Sigmar eventually, right?
Yeah. They just say they're doing that as well. From what I learned in some older people, like I didn't really get into RPGs at an earlier age, but I know Fantasy Flight took over the RPG back when they had a lot of the Warhammer IPs on their side, and that a lot of people didn't really enjoy Fantasy Flight's version of it. I'm just going off what I heard.
Yeah.
But this is a return to what it was before Fantasy Flight got a hold of it, and a lot of people I hear, like the older school players, are really excited about that.
Oh, right on.
So I get to learn what everyone was excited about. But I've been reading the fluff so far. I haven't gotten into the nitty-gritty rules yet.
Well, cool. Let's start.
No, it's a large rule book, too. It's like 400-something pages, right?
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, it's pretty gorgeous, too. I've skimmed through it. But, John, if you want to talk about the Star Wars Legion releases.
Yeah, so this week we have Chewbacca and the Wookiees. So if you're a Rebel player, it's going to be a lot of melee, a little bit of survivability, so they don't they don't have the criticals that turn into symbols, so they're saving still on 2 out of 8 facings on a white die, which is not great, but they have a lot of health. So each warrior has 3 health, and then Chewbacca has 9 health. And what's cool is, like, he basically gets more powerful the more damage he gets. So it's going to be super useful for the Rebel players who want to be able to help take objectives and really mess around with, like, Vader, because Vader will have a tough time getting rid of all the Wookiees. Which is great. So it's a really great expansion for those who are looking for extra survivability.
Just the meat shield.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, no.
Bowcasters, and Chewie has his classic bowcaster. Good little models.
The Star Wars Legion has really expanded over the last couple months. Mm-hmm. We've seen the release of Palpatine and his emperors, the Emperor Guards, or Royal Guard, excuse me.
Royal Guard, yep.
Yeah,
and
so we've also had Han Solo and Rebel Commandos, Boba Fett. All these guys have released. So Legion actually has a whole lot of models now.
And the turrets, E-webs, and then the 1.4 FD turrets for Rebels.
Right. Yeah.
Rebels.
Yeah. So once again, like, Legion has just kind of expanded by a whole lot. So if you guys haven't checked it out in a bit, it's a really good time to look into it and get into it.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll move on to the other releases. Yeah. We'll do Privateer Press real quick. This week is the release of the last 2 factions for Monsterpocalypse.
Oh, dude, that's so cool!
Yeah, so Ares Mothership is the first monster for the Martians. He actually is really weird because he's not the traditional monster like the other guys. He's not a giant robot. He's not a big lizard. It is, in fact, just a flying saucer. So he has a little bit of different rules than the other monsters. The fact that you can't body slam him as effectively as other guys, because, you know, he has a saucer and you can't really suplex him.
Yeah, grab the tractor beam. And
not to say it's not impossible to suplex him. It's just a lot more difficult.
It's very awkward.
Yeah. And so the Martians are part of the Destroyer faction, which puts them in the bad guy realm. Who would have thunk it?
I will say, I think since he looks like a Frisbee, you should get a bonus to throwing distance.
No, absolutely. So Ares Mothership is kind of a cross between Independence Day carrier ship and you know, War of the Worlds Martians. So he looks really cool. If you guys haven't seen it yet, you can check out the pictures online, or come into the store and see him for yourself.
Yeah. I definitely think the neat thing is the Martian faction can abduct.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool.
The smaller saucers can abduct something with defense 2 or lower, but the mothership can abduct 4 or lower. So the mothership can abduct tanks while the little ones can't.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's a neat concept.
Yeah, and then Martians are around manipulating the resources, the dice mechanic of the game. So they're really good at like adding or subtracting dice from themselves or opponents. So it's really cool. Was that discussing? No, not.
And that mothership is the same as like one of the lizards that are there.
Yeah. So flip over Terracon. Terracon is his counterpart for this wave. Terracon is a pterosaur.
Nice.
If you guys can believe it. So much like, you know, Ares mothership is your War of the Worlds, Terracon is this game's Godzilla. So he's a massive looking lizard, and pterosaurs, their mechanic is about buffing each other, so they don't really do anything fancy other than hit hard. So Terracon allows his smaller units to hit better or move around the board quicker.
Yeah.
And then Terracon himself is just kind of a beater. Like, you know, he wants to destroy things. He wants to destroy bad things.
Yes. He also has a neat ability. Once he takes enough damage, he gets to do a free melee attack each turn.
Yep.
Ooh.
Which is pretty powerful. Some other fighters have it where you can do a free range attack each turn. Mm. So Sky Sentinel, for example, is one that's coming soon.
I'll take the mothership for abductions. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely a neat mechanic.
Yeah. So with that, these guys are now officially out on Friday. So we have those two monsters plus 2 unit blisters for each of them. So if you pick up a monster and the 2 unit blisters, then you guys are set and ready to play a one monster game.
Nice.
And then coming out in January is Deimos 9, which is the second monster for Martians, and then Sky Sentinel, which is for Guard.
What does Deimos 9 look like?
He's a tripod.
Oh, cool. So,
I didn't know if that was just like a little unit or not.
Yeah. So check out Monsterpocalypse. And then for our other new release, we have, Mark, how are you going to present this? The Mother of Dragons expansion.
She lost her hair.
That is cool artwork. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. The artwork is phenomenal on this.
I like that she has no hair there. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. If you're coming out of fire, why would you have hair?
Yeah. Right.
So this is the expansion to the Game of Thrones board game. It's important to say board game because there's a lot of Game of Thrones games that we carry, from the LCG to Game of Thrones Catan to A Song of Ice and Fire. So this expansion basically goes over the Targaryens and kind of their storyline in the game. So
it's a very sad one until you think of the crazy guy.
Yeah, right.
That everyone had to overthrow.
There's a lot of ups and downs, and by lots of ups and downs, a couple of ups and lots of downs in their storyline. and so this is a great one. This is great for collectors. This is also a good idea for a Christmas purchase, especially if they have the base game already. Licensed games are really good because it's a great way to get people into the hobby. You know, it's like, oh, hey, Game of Thrones. I love Game of Thrones. I will give that board game a shot.
Yep.
And expansions is a great way to build on that.
That's why there's a 40K Monopoly now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just
like, how do you truly end friendships? 40K Monopoly.
Yeah, right. One person buys up all the trader spaces.
I'm very curious. Is Boardwalk and Park Place Terra and Mars?
Probably.
It better be.
Yeah.
I actually haven't taken a look at it yet. But that's a good segue into our Games Workshop releases.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Mark, give us a good riff.
So funny story, that's why the original reason I started collecting Chaos Space Marines was because of Noise Marines, but I never actually played Noise Marines.
Yeah.
So now I can.
Brad Haney is asking if we have Keyforge in stock. Brad, not currently, but we have a shipment coming in. I want to say at the beginning of, it might be Monday. Depends on shipping, if it's making in. If not, it'll be in probably Wednesday or something. So, but yeah, so the Noise Marine is dropping. This is a limited edition single model Noise Marine. So he is reminiscent of the original Noise Marine sculpt from way back when.
Yeah, they have a picture of it on the back.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
The old metal, not great model.
if you say so.
Not a great model, but it has a beautiful paint job. Yeah. And so this one kind of takes the contemporary design of Games Workshop and uses the old design as a base.
Yeah.
It looks really, really great. I think a lot of people are going to be using this for like character Noise Marines or character Chaos Space Marines for a while.
Because it has character.
Yeah, it has a lot of
character. And his stat line actually has him, I think, as a champion of a Noise Marine squad, basically, or unit.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you get his stats in there. So you can use him in the game if you buy him. I know I'll be getting him and probably converting him into some sort of Chaos Lord.
Nice.
Got to get my hair metal on. And yep. I don't...
You have to give him a power axe, though.
Yeah. I was going to put an axe blade probably at the top of the guitar so he could shoot and then swing. But yeah, if you guys haven't looked at this model yet, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's $35.
I just thought of like five puns just now.
Yeah. So I love the Noise Marine personally, and I'm super excited to see him together and painted. And so finally, Games Workshop release. This will be the last of the new releases, I super promise.
Oh, dude, yes!
Realm of Chaos, right?
Wrath and, that's how you pronounce yeah, it, right? Yeah. Wrath and Rapture. So this is the new box set from Games Workshop. Mm. It's nice because it has two factions in it that belong to the same faction.
I'm going to zoom in on the model I like the most.
The Harp?
Yeah, the Harp.
That is probably one of the best models, like super grim dark that they've ever made.
Yeah, so that's the Infernal Enchantress. Or Enrapturous, I can't remember. That is the new Herald of Slaanesh. The model's gorgeous. It fits on a slightly larger base than other Heralds because, you know, there's a human being harp on it. Also in that box set, there's the new Fiends of Slaanesh. So it is, you get two Fiends, they're two different kits. They make, like the models look different enough to where it's pretty compelling for a modeling a modeler or someone who needs a lot of diversity in their army.
Do you think she's tugging his heart?
Do y'all think with those models you could now run a pure Slaanesh Chaos Demons force?
So I don't think the Infernal Enchantress like adds enough to it because we've had the Fiends before. They were just not as great models.
Right.
And it didn't add any new options. But between Chapter Approved and getting that new Infernal Enchantress, you're definitely a lot better off running mono Slaanesh Demons if you wanted. And I don't think, especially in Age of Sigmar,
Like
I know in Age of Sigmar, they're pretty good right now. And I want to say in 40K, it's hard to compete against soup of any kind.
Right.
So it is a step in the right direction for 40K players because you're getting new options and new models. And new options plus the points drops in the Chapter Approved means that your army's in a much better spot than it was before.
Yeah.
Also in this box set, we have Karnarak and the Flesh Hounds of Khorne. And those new models are fantastic. I know a lot of people were waiting on Flesh Hounds.
Exactly.
Me in particular, because that's my favorite model on the Khorne line.
I've had a bad experience with them, so I don't like them.
Yeah. So I love those little doggos. And I'm sure a lot of people will be picking this up. Karnarak looks amazing.
I forget
that. Oh.
Ever.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But you love puppies.
Yeah, I do love puppies.
So Wrath and Rapture is here. Both Wrath and Rapture and the Noise Marine officially released tomorrow. So if you guys want, we're still taking pre-orders on these. Just let us know if you want us to pull any for you.
Perfect last-minute Christmas gift. To yourself, yes, as it has to be.
especially the Noise Marine, because the Noise Marine is a limited edition item. We don't know how long it's going to be. We only have, it looks like 12 left not pre-ordered here at the store.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be all that we're getting for I don't know how long. As soon as we know if there's a restock coming, we'll let you know. But
yeah, these limited edition things tend to go real fast, so you got to get it.
Yeah.
Kurt's comments are absolutely killing me. I love it.
Yeah, Kurt. Kurt's Keyforge deck name is Choice. Apparently, he got Lover of Mark's Glistening Chest Hair.
Oh man, that's a weird name they get there.
Yeah.
Funny Kurt. Thing, that's not the weirdest name of a deck.
Yeah, Pharmacism.
Yeah.
It was a pretty crazy one.
Which was banned.
Yeah, of course.
They were like,
what do you plant? Seeds of hate.
not to segue too much, but Fantasy Flight was very, very proactive about it. And so they basically banned all the decks with like something close to offensive names, and they sent out new decks to those players. So it was really good.
They get to hold on to their old ones and be like, I have this terrible deck.
Yeah.
It's in my possession.
No, I think you had to send it back.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I think so.
I would keep it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I have this terrible deck that will never be used.
Yeah.
I would keep it.
But yeah.
Actually, did they send like replacements that are the same cards with a different name?
I don't know. I didn't look into it too much, other than the fact that Fantasy Flight made sure that quickly and like issued compensation.
And we'll probably change the algorithm and we're like, stop using these words, please.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So yeah. John, do you want to move into our discussion topic?
Yeah, for the big day? Discussion topic. So 2019 is coming up real fast. It's like a week and a half away. And Christmas is great, but how do we get new players into it, especially our friends, those who are not as inclined to do things like war games or magic or whatever? So they're just regular folks who you know in the back of your mind they're going to love it, but how do we get them into gaming the most effective way? Like, how do we introduce them the best way to it? So that's our discussion topic for the day. It's a good one, right?
Yeah. No, it is. And so someone... like with me, I've had to come to that problem about a lot. I don't even necessarily think it's a problem. A lot of it, if you want to get someone into a game, is talk to them about it. Kind of tell them, it's like, hey, I've been really interested in this. I think you should check it out. And usually most of my friends will be like, oh yeah, what is it? Talk to me about it. And I'll explain them the game. And if they seem interested, even just an inkling, I'll be like, hey, actually see it in action. A lot of the barrier for people getting into it is that they're still outside of, our realm, is that there's a stigma with game stores in general. Like, they think that they're the small hole in the wall filled with sweaty, smelly nerds. And that just isn't true anymore. Gaming has opened up to ages from every part of society. And it's absolutely great. And so I think when people, they see the game being played on the table, they're usually like, yeah, I can get into this. So a lot of that is a great way to get people in. It's just kind of getting them to take the first step into a store.
Yeah. And it's really how the community plays together as well. I haven't seen it here where people are yelling at each other. It's like, no, that's wrong. The rules are this way. Like, obviously, someone walks in, doesn't know the game. They see two people yelling at each other. It's like, I'm going to avoid that. Yeah. But, I usually, when I see people watching games, they're intent on just seeing what these people are doing with these models that they painted. So that's another allure. But, as far as the community here at Gigabytes, I can't say people are ever yelling at each other.
Yeah.
So
funny story. I was at last... Actually, it was earlier this week, like Monday, I was in a magic shop because I was looking for card sleeves to protect some of my Legion cards. And this dude is yelling at this other dude, is like, that's assault, because like he accidentally touched his hand during a game or something.
Oh, my God.
Something weird like that. And I'm literally going, I'm in the shop, I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And the dude at the register is not even like dealing with it. He's just kind of like got his headphones on with playing his game. And I'm like, y'all, what?
Yeah, and so... So obviously, if you have a store like that, maybe take a different approach.
Yeah.
And different approaches that you can try. Kai had a good suggestion where it's start off small. Start off with a board game.
Tied to whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was talking a little bit earlier in the cast about, the Game of Thrones game. Sometimes a licensed game is a great way to pull someone in.
Yeah.
You love Game of Thrones, and they're like, yeah, I do. It's like, cool, you want to play this Game of Thrones board game? And most of the time, they'll be like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll give that a shot. You get to play the Game of Thrones board game, and maybe if they had a lot of fun with it, you show up and be like, hey, why don't we try this game? It's not Game of Thrones, but it's similar, and they might be like, oh, I had a blast doing that. And you can kind of slowly work them into, and so maybe they'll get a taste of a board game, and maybe they'll want to go out and buy research and get into it that way.
Now, in y'all's experience, have you ever encountered people who are like they don't want to try it? Like, you know that they will once they get into it, but for you know, people are hesitant. Like, my wife, for instance, you know, she won't try a new game, but once she tries it, she, like, loves it. Like Ticket to Ride at first was like, ah, it's trains, what's the big deal? But now she's obsessed with Ticket to Ride.
Right, and it's one of those things, and I can't stress this enough, is if you are overly pushy about getting them into something, mm-hmm. it will turn them off to it. You most of the time, you got to make your argument and kind of show them the benefits of the game. If they're like, hey, I'm not interested to it, be like, hey, that's absolutely fine. It's one of those things where you're like, hey, me and our basically keep inviting them, right? Like don't push them, but be like, hey, we're going to go play board games. You want to come with? And they'll be like, no, I'm still good. But maybe one day they'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll come along. And even if they're sitting in the corner watching, they're going to see everyone having fun and enjoying themselves. And that's one of the reasons why I like people to come into the store, because for the most part, they're going to see, you know, depending on the night, up to 100 people having a blast doing whatever they're doing. They're going to be laughing, making jokes, interacting with the people around them. And people will eventually want to be a part of that, right? And that's, to me, a great selling point, is just saying, hey, this is something that you can go do, socialize with other people. That's not a bar. And yeah, it's a hobby and you're going to have to buy things to get into it, right? But it's not every time, right? Yeah. Like, so it's not like you having to go pay for the golf course every weekend, right? Like,
right.
So for the golf analogy, Gigabytes would be the golf course. However, we don't charge for, you know, you playing on the field, and all you have to do is buy your clubs once, you know,
and get
with it. So
it's a good analogy, actually.
And every day, now and then you need more tees, more golf balls.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, is that, like, once again, you're not playing, you're not paying the course fee, you're not paying the club fee.
Yeah.
You just have to buy the things you get to keep.
Yeah.
And the time you get to spend here is up to you, and it's not something that you have to constantly pay for. So it's always a great idea to bring someone into their local game store and show them how good of a time, how much fun you have with it.
Yeah.
And if they're resistant to it, don't force them, right? It's you can only show them how much you enjoy the hobby and how much you want to bring them into it, right?
I was just immediately imagining Clockwork Orange, where someone has their hands cuffed behind their back. They have the things that keep their eyes open. It's like, look at this game.
Yeah.
And it's like, look at this game.
Don't do that. And Kai, no good. I'll have you know, I'm awful at golf.
Yeah.
But I have played it.
Kai says cooperative games, which is a really good idea.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is what you want to do. Like, I love the miniature war games and things like that. It's really great. However, getting someone into 40K or War Machine and Hordes or Monster Apocalypse, things like that, it is a much harder sell for someone if you're like, all right, cool, friend, join this game so I can go beat you up, right? You
know? Yeah.
It is, you don't want to do that. So,
right.
So if you want to get them into miniature wargaming, I usually start with the story, the modeling, and running narrative games. So if you want to get someone in and it's like their first time, they're like, hey, I'd like to try 40K out, give them a story to play through.
Yeah.
Set up an objective where they're learning games. Give them a slightly larger force than you. And, you know, push the narrative that way. So once again, you can provide a challenge to them while you know how to play correctly, or not correctly, but you know the rules, but they have kind of an overwhelming force in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So
good idea.
They can eventually play through the game, feel a little bit more powerful, but at the end of the day, they're going through a narrative, they're playing through the scenario, and you can even do it to where, yeah, they could be losing, but make sure that they have an easy to complete objective to where, like, the last man standing can go put the flag in the hole and save the day, right?
Which still counts, so, game over.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's really important with war games to not, like, once again, with 40K, War Machine, the games that can get really competitive, it don't just drop them into, like, this is what the tournament standard is, crush.
Sorry, I just imagined leaf blower IG.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that. Get them into the story. Get them into the background, because once again, that's what's going to sell the game. Having them put themselves in a world, whether it's Dungeons & Dragons or one of the war games we carry, like anything that has the hobby aspect to it, whether it's creating character sheets or painting minis, you want them to be firmly set in the world to really get them interested.
Yeah.
Let them be the hero.
Yeah, let them be the hero. Now, some people are going to be like, all right, cool. What's the most competitive game? I like playing tournaments online, blah, blah, blah. And then if that's their approach, take that approach to explain it to them. And maybe when you're doing the demos, instead of doing something narratively, you can say, all right, like, this is how you get started in the tournament. Yeah. And we're going to walk you through everything. And so, like, be very precise and, like, talk about everything. Talk about movements, positions, things
like
that.
Why you're doing actions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I guess it's basically reading your friends. But, like, I can guarantee you, if you get them into the narrative, if you get them into that, it'll sell them on it.
Yeah. So how do I start that conversation? Like, do I message them and say, hey, do you ever play board games or what?
Yeah. No, that's a great way. Because, like, what I'll usually do with my Mark, and Mark will probably roll his eyes, is like, I'll get really into like mobile games, and I'll be like, hey Mark, like you know, I've been really into this lately, have you seen it, or do you want to check it out? And Mark will either be like, yeah, nah. And that's fine. But like, when I'm really excited about it, I want to talk about it. And
I mean, I'm glad to discuss it.
Exactly.
I need you, but I think when, if I were to ever load it up, he'd be like, yeah, this isn't,
and once again, that's fine. But like, getting that conversation and reading that conversation, but passion sells. I can say that until my face turns blue. But if you are excited about something and you want to play something and you and your friend hang out a lot, they will probably eventually give it a shot because they enjoy hanging out with you. And it is a different way of spending time with them instead of like playing video games or going to a bar or like, especially on a day like today, like maybe your thing is going outside to play like soccer or whatever. You can't really do that on a rainy, gloomy day, but you guys can come into a game store and play a game of 40K or maybe pick up that new RPG book and make characters for your next thing. So
Me and John were discussing, he picked up an RPG book.
And that's what we did. Like it was one of those things where it was just like, hey Mark, I'm thinking about running another game. It's going to be a superhero game. And Mark's like, I'm interested. We sat down, we had dinner, we talked about like, you know, kind of the world and all that. And Mark made a character a character concept. And so without even bringing him into a game store, this was a conversation we had over dinner at a Mexican restaurant with terrible service.
But when she says she'll be back in a minute, don't trust her.
Yeah. Yeah. One eternity. Yeah. But once again, that conversation, it was just simple as, hey, this is something I want to do.
Yeah.
And Mark's was just like, oh, I'd be interested in that. And we talked about the game and all that, and he got excited about it and into it. And so that was an easy push.
And I mean, John made a pun name for my hero.
Yeah. So once again, reading your audience or reading your friend and being like, all right, cool. Like, if you have some guy who has been like, I can't stand role-playing games, blah, blah, blah. Maybe don't try to get them into a role-playing game, but find a common ground, something where, you know, it's like, well, you don't like role-playing games, but like, we have played board games at parties in the past. Let's start with a board game and maybe kind of lead them towards something that is a little bit on the more role-playing side. So like doing something like Gloomhaven or a legacy game, you know, doing that sort of thing.
Descent is a very, very good that RPG bridge board game mix. But I think we definitely had a Django and Chain moment. Leonardo DiCaprio was like, you had my interest. Now you have my attention.
Yeah. And so these are all important things when you're talking to your friends. And I mean, also at the end of the day, you're trying to get your friends into it because you want to spend time with them.
Exactly.
It's not the same point of view as us as a store of being like, all right, let's get you into this thing so we can have you here playing and doing all that. But with your friend, you're like, I would like to spend time with you in a different way.
Exactly. You know? So you guys are comfortable with each other. You just spread that interest to them. They want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
You want to spend time with them. So it's that it's not like a formal get together. Like, it's just you guys hanging out.
Yeah.
It's what you guys decide you want to do together. And so obviously you share each other's interests. Now, if it's always just been a one-sided, hey, try this, hey, try this, hey, try this, like, offer to be interested in what they're interested in sometimes. Like, let them know that you can reciprocate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being a good friend.
Yeah. Joe has a good thing. If you are in charge of your employees, just make them play the game.
Yeah, that's true.
No, so So one of the cool things that I have seen at the store is we'll have a regular playing games, and a new guy will come in, and it'll be that regular's friend, and they are just meeting the regular here so they can go out and do their normal thing. However, that friend who comes in, once again, they see all that's going on, and they start asking questions. And once you start asking questions...
Where's Rachel?
Yeah, I mean, even if it's that. Where's Rachel? She's by the 40K. Why don't you go check it out? Yeah.
Nice. Good one, John.
But like, once they start asking questions, that means they're interested. And it's an easy way to get them into it. So, like I said, first and foremost, get them into the store. Secondly, get them interested into the story of whatever game you want them to play. I don't even care if it's like a role-playing game. It could be something as simple as Azul, but like explaining the premise where you're like, hey, we're trying to complete the most beautiful tile floor you've ever seen, you know, like completing this mosaic. And sometimes that's enough where they're just like, okay, cool. Like that's the core concept of the game. I can kind of now see where the rules align to this,
yeah.
You know, and that's all always important.
So like board games would be the easiest way, especially cooperative board games would be the easiest way, right?
Yeah. So board games I always find easy because everyone has played board games. Mm-hmm. I have, and I use the term everyone very loosely because there could be a random person out there that hasn't played board games. But anyways, board games are kind of the jumping ground or the starting point. Excuse me. Because they are a low investment on someone's time.
Sometimes.
Right.
Twilight Imperium. Yeah. Yeah, first thing.
But once again, like the perception of a board game is, all right, we play the game and then it's done. Yeah. Right. Like mm-hmm. I don't have to make the commitment of, let's say, buying a starter box or a book or something like that. It is, I am playing this game and having that experience. And then when it's over, that's where it ends. Now, that doesn't mean, hey, I really like that game. I can play it again, you know? So that's always great. And these are all things to keep in mind. So once again, if your audience is very far away from board game or tabletop or that sort of like geek culture, like start with something a little bit more approachable. Like that's the reason why I like things like Ticket to Ride.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not Dungeons and Dragons. It's not Swords and Sorcery or like Space Marines blowing things up. It's build a railroad line. Back in, what time period is it?
1800s.
Like 1800s, yeah. 1800s
America. 1840s, 50s, 60s, that area.
Yeah.
Lay the track, make that stack.
Yeah, and exactly. So, like, once again, taking something that's a little bit more general, like I was talking about Azul. Mm-hmm. Azul, once again, it's tile laying, you know? Yeah. Like, it's not something that's going to push someone one way or the other. I'll be right back.
Yep.
Sure. Now, Mark,
yeah,
getting people into war games. So, you know, you have a hobby aspect. How do we get people from not hobbying at all? They love board games. How do we get them more into hobby stuff? So, like, do we start them off small with, like, a single Reaper Bones model, or what do you do?
It really depends on what they enjoy. Like, for example, you look at RPGs, you give them their character. If they have a character that they really love, just find that model that's perfect for it. Give it to them. There's nice paint sets now, because a big issue with getting started with painting is getting all those colors.
Right.
You look at like each bottle being $4, and you want maybe, I mean, if you want all the details done right, you want maybe 10 colors. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at $40 for paint, but these paint sets give you a little bit less paint, but they give you the huge variety that you need. And some come with a limited edition model as well, which is great, a paintbrush. So you're getting a really good deal with these paint sets. And that helps, that really just helps them get started. And then once they have those base colors that they have, and they want to, you know, say, oh, I need, you know, pink for the tongue of a mimic, right? They normally wouldn't use pink on anything else, but they have this big monster that has a giant tongue sticking out, so they want pink for that. So they come in, they buy pink, and it's just like a slow investment in your paint sets. Like my paint set started where I could just hold it in like a little box, and as time went on and on and on, I now have a case for paint, and it's filled to the brim. Like I'm stuffing paint where it doesn't belong anymore. here's a little section of it for clippers. I'm like, well, paint bottle. but your collection grows fairly quickly once you start painting more and more, and you need this color or that color. But as far as like RPGs, give them that perfect model that really fits their character, and and make it nice. Like get together and paint.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I used to be able to paint at home. I just load something up, I'd start painting. But as like it became less of a distraction from what I was doing. So I needed people around me. So now I only paint at Gigabyte because I have people I can talk to. Usually, you know, someone will sit down next to me and we'll go together through our evening, just painting whatever model we're working on.
That's a good idea.
As far as like tabletop game painting, find that one model that is the centerpiece of their army and work on that first, and then see where they want to branch out from there. So, all right, I have my, for example, War Machine, I have my Warcaster. And my Warcaster really loves, you know, these knights. So work on those knights next. And honestly, I'm like one of the worst people to come and ask for motivation for painting, because I will paint the centerpieces of my army, but as soon as it comes to the infantry and all the little guys, I will, you know, I don't think I've completed a single unit. Sorry, it's always been like, all right, here's this unit. Don't really want to do that. All right, next War Beast. All right, next Warcaster, next Solo. I will do the centerpieces, but I will ignore the bulk of the army.
Interesting. So, like, if someone is a new, you know, oftentimes we get this kind of perfectionism thing where a new player will say, don't want to do it unless it's going to be perfect. So how do we, like, nip that in the bud?
You nip it in the butt by basically, like, showing them, even if it's with your army, show them something finished. And it's like, that looks amazing. Yes, it does. You know how much time I spent on it? Next to nothing. A lot of times, done is done. What looks the best, like what looks perfect, is just being done.
Right.
Like I have, you know, one model that came fairly close to finishing, a unit mining, and that burned me out. It burned me out hard. But a lot of times you learn techniques that can help you finish things quickly. Like getting the base coat in, washing, doing edge highlighting. And this is just stuff that pops so much on the table. But, you know, obviously on close inspection, you say, oh, this actually, you know, they took a lot of shortcuts. But on the table, you don't notice those shortcuts. You notice that, oh, it has, you know, depth, you know, the wash created depth on the arms or in the crevices. And, you know, the highlights make the clothes pop. And then, you know, just the dry brushing made the hair or the face really have that detail show. But these are all super quick techniques. It's not like I blended all the colors together. I just used materials and techniques that I had to make this stuff quickly. So, for example, I've done speed painting competitions because
I love speed painting stuff.
But I have a crow creator that I was like, wow, I got this guy done in an hour. And if I do 9 more, I have a fully painted unit. If I just dedicate an hour a day, or even if I assembly line it, you can say, all right, this first hour, I'm getting all my frogs green. And then the next day, I'm going to spend this hour to get all my frogs, you know, like little, what's the throat sack on a frog called?
Vocal sack.
Like getting that a different shade of green or a light color if you want that white-bellied frog. And then the next day you do their clothes and or their loincloths or whatever that's on the frogs. And it's just a simple process where you're not, you know, hunched over a desk grinding away at doing every detail. You're picking out a detail. You're getting it through and through done on each model. I think my issue was I tried to assembly line with just going through every color, like, all right, greens, browns. And so when I got to doing the skin and, you know, having to correct issues, I was burnt out. So I'm definitely going to try to get a unit that I've had since I started playing War Machine finished painting in the near future. I think the New Year's resolution was definitely to get more painting done from last year. And I got, I think, up until around March. I had gotten a model a week, but that dropped off.
Well, especially because, you know, you might paint bigger models, you know, centerpieces, like you said earlier. And that will slow things down. But oftentimes, you know, like Kai says, the two techniques of washing and dry brushing can do a lot, especially for smaller models and for newer painters.
Yeah, exactly.
My first model was not the Reaper Bones, but it was actually the Reaper Metal of, like, a wizard. He had his staff held above his head, and it was for a D&D game. So, like, I came in to Giga, and I literally just bought this, I think it was $8, because the metal's a little bit more expensive than the bones. And I had Sean Twitty happen to be there, so I met him that day, and he taught me, like, how to do it. So we went and primed the model, and then he said, wash, dry brush, like, we'll do most of what you want to do.
Yep.
And I was like, really? Sure. And I was like, just wash. So I was like, well, I asked, what's a wash? And so he explained, went through the process, and that's something you can help with your friends, is telling them, like, a little bit about how because it's so easy, right? Like, all you gotta do is you take this one thing on your paint, on your brush, you coat it in one color, and then the wash goes into the recesses, and it makes it look dynamic. So when you tell that, you're like, oh, that's pretty easy to do.
So this model here, I spent, I think, maybe a little less than 2 hours painting so far, but it's a colossal.
Nice. Look at that.
And so I just got, I got painted everything brown, including where the metal is and everything. And then just picked out the detail, but then I just washed it, then dry brushed it. And now I'm just slowly painting in the green on the armor.
Yeah.
I haven't started on the
back. But the wings look great.
But yeah, it's just a really simple process of washing and dry brushing. And so someone even said, oh, it's a race, right? He started his Storm Raptor ages ago, and I think he's going to lose the race just because the techniques are simple.
Right. So, you know, those are the things that we can do and tell, you know, new players and whatnot. So, but let's talk about the actual game systems. So how do we teach the game systems to new players? Very important. So how do we encourage them to like the game, to enjoy it, and then feel like they have agency? Because agency is something that if they feel in control of their stuff, then they're going to enjoy it. So one issue that sometimes you have with dice games is that it's random. But if you explain to them throughout the process that, yes, the dice are random, but you always have a chance of succeeding, right? So even if the chance is not good, you can hedge your bets by using better tactics or strategy.
Exactly. So people, like, for example, War Machine Hordes, they'll determine if an assassination run, basically like chess, taking out the king, is worth it or not. Mm-hmm. It's, all right, so I average the hit, so I might hit 3 out of 4 attacks, and the average damage will be maybe 5, and you can reduce it by X amount. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a 50% chance on getting this done. And so that's worth it because I'm going to lose next turn. And so they'll do it. But, you know, that's still dice. Dice are still going to determine whether you win or lose. And it's nice because working in guarantees is, I think, a poor way to play a game.
For most games, yeah, I think so. Like with chess, because it's fairly simple, you only have, 7 types of, you know, things. But at 40K, you have hundreds of different types of units.
Exactly.
Or War Machine of Hordes, it's the same thing. You have dozens of different infantry-type models.
But the key is knowing what your friend likes to play. Do they do they find, like, that massive army versus army thing to be exciting? Do they want to see two forces clash in the center of the table? If that's what they want, you know, 40K or Age of Sigmar is great. If they want that more skirmish feel, then Infinity might be wonderful. They love that science fiction world where, you know, it's a dystopian, it's a beautiful thing. I wouldn't say it's necessarily dystopian, but you do have, you know, authoritarian regimes and aliens trying to invade, things like that. And, you know, obviously corporate or business control over your everyday life. It's still this amazing world where technology reigns. You have people that want to be free, so they just float through space in giant fleets. But if that kind of lore appeals to your friend, tell them about it. Like, I think Infinity, did they come out with an RPG?
They have an RPG.
Yeah, and that is the, like, most in-depth they've ever gotten into their world. So if your friend loves that thing, introduce them to the book. They can buy models for the RPG, and then those models can obviously be used in the game. And obviously, you can. It's all about how big they want their game. That will easily determine where they want to go.
Interesting. Yeah. So, like with Kill Team, that's something that I read a lot online, is that people say, oh, you know, I was playing Kill Team, and now my wife wants a Harlequin troop. Or, exactly. You know, my friend, suddenly he's like, oh, I can now buy a single squad of intercessors and have a full, you know, list.
Mm-hmm.
So having, like, that smaller skirmish games to begin with, and I think that helps. Kill Team helps, Necromunda helps, which, by the way, Necromunda, man, you gotta play it. If you don't play Necromunda, for those watching and listening, you gotta try it at least once. So join our Necromunda group and play it, because I promise you, you'll probably love it. I can't say for sure, obviously, per person, but I didn't realize how much I would enjoy it until after I played it. Truly phenomenal.
But, like, speaking of trying to make a bridge into getting people to play,
mm-hmm.
So Warhammer Fantasy, you know, back before Age of Sigmar, had this beautiful world that I loved. Like, I loved the fact that it was basically just copying Europe and throwing in some new factions and just this
dwarves
world that somehow made it work. You look at everything going wrong, and somehow, you know, they always last minute make it right again. But Crucible 7 did come out with the Warhammer Fantasy RPG, and the bridge I'm trying to make is I'm finding all the my friends that played Warhammer Fantasy with me,
mm-hmm.
and saying, "Hey, I'm going to make this world. Do you want to be a part of it?"
Mm.
And so that's really what we're doing. So we have all these people like, "Oh, I really miss Warhammer Fantasy." It's like, "Well, here's your like flashback. Here's your nostalgic playthrough that you can do to remember how things used to be."
Nice.
And so, but it's beautiful. Like in the intro of it, they'll have
where you're playing at.
Beautiful map.
Oh my gosh! Look at that! Wow. That's Reichland, right?
Yeah. So the Reichland is the heart of the Empire,
mm-hmm.
and but it'll go through and it describes obviously like the scribe's point of view, who's like everything's great, everything's hunky dory, Karl Franz keeping us safe, and then you have the actual opinion of like, you know, the Empire is pretty lucky that they have like coasts and mountains and rivers keeping the invaders out. but the scribe is just like, oh yeah, Karl Franz is amazing. He's got our back, man. He's gonna protect us all the time. You know, like just honestly, basically yes man writing in a book for you. And then you have the honest opinion. And it goes on and like, oh, the disparity between, you know, the poor and the rich, and
mm-hmm.
and but it does make note that there is a growing middle class in the Empire. but just like they like to mention, everything comes with a price. Like the Empire is full of forests, and in those forests are a lot of things that want dead humans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So in the comments, if y'all want to put anything, how you have gotten your friends into gaming. Tabletop gaming, because I think it's going to be, you know, like John said in the last couple of streams, 2019 is definitely going to be the year for community and community growth. I think we're going to see more and more people get away from, you know, the Friday night play video games at home kind of thing. You know, we're going to see more things of people coming out and being social, because really we're social creatures. And I was actually talking with a friend of mine last night about this, about how humans, you know, we're reaching that point where we've had cell phones for so long, and now we're like, okay, it's time to be able to socialize more, you know?
Yeah, and that's a way to market it, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, come in, meet new people, get, you know, be in an environment where you're surrounded by people and not just sitting at home binging Netflix or playing video games.
And nothing wrong with that, of course. I love to do that stuff.
Yeah, you know, but everything's in moderation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and socializing is usually an important part to people's day-to-day, right? So a lot of people are in jobs where they're stuck in a cubicle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So get them out, get them into a new environment, a different experience, and it'll be really good for them. So
So that was me last night. I was at home playing some games on my computer.
Oh,
John,
yeah.
I was like, are you gonna be at the store today? And I was like, sure, what's up? And I didn't get a response. I was like, whatever, I'll head out. I don't want to be home anymore. I just want to get out of the house. And so I get here and it ended up being a nice evening. We grabbed dinner. We talked about the superhero game John wants to run.
Nice.
And it'd be a great night. And we got my, basically the premise of my hero. And for those of you wondering, the pun name was Drawback. And I have the ability to basically attract things to me that I've touched.
Yeah.
So
love it.
Good pun. Yeah.
Like the Incredibles. It's great.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ways to get people in, and I know everyone will have their own style, but it's really giving someone else or showing someone else your interest, like your hobbies. You know, like you guys might have bonded over playing Halo or whatever. Is that still topical? Fortnite? Bonding over playing Fortnite.
Nowadays it's Fortnite, yeah.
But like, hey, like, you know, you won't play that video game for forever, I don't think. Maybe you will. No. But it's like one of those things where, like, you know, relationships change, things progress, get them interested in something else so you can keep spending time with each other. So it's good. And once again, building communities, getting new people into games is a great way to keep a community thriving. You bringing in one friend can keep or bring in 3 or 10 other people, you know? So it's really important to be mindful of when you do that sort of stuff.
And like invite them to like chats and stuff like that or groups that you have. Things where you keep the conversation going so that they know that people are still playing it. Because the biggest thing that discourages people is they don't think that people are playing.
Yeah, that's true.
Like they say, so, oh, no one plays this because I'm not seeing anything. Post your games. Post images of you playing. Like on Wednesday night, there was Star Wars Legion being played. And someone had told me prior that, oh, no one's playing it. No one's playing it. I said, I'm pretty sure people are playing it. They're just maybe not posting it. So when you do play your game, like if you play Infinity, post in the Infinity group, you know, or, you know, have your friends who are playing it say, hey, I'm playing tonight. I'll be here next week. That same thing.
Yeah, so it's really important having visibility in terms of what you're playing. And it's another great thing where if you tell someone, you're like, hey, play 40K with me, and they're going to be like, well, what's 40K? You know, I mean, 40K to me is the easier sell, or just you show them all the videos of cool models and all that sort of stuff. But also show them pictures of people playing. Like, you know, show them who's playing, where they're playing, how they're playing, you know, because John, you went to Warzone, you took a lot of photos and like you did a lot of live coverage and it's great to see that amount of people like laughing, joking, rolling dice.
Oh, dude, the energy is electric. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And being able to show that to someone else is fantastic. So yeah, be mindful of that.
Absolutely. Cool. I think that covers that topic pretty thoroughly.
Okay, well, great. Yeah, we have a shipment arriving just now, so it'll be a good time to sign off.
Awesome.
But yeah, you guys have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next time. Right. Yeah, so I won't be here next week, but I'm sure David will fill in.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And Merry Christmas, everybody, because we will see you after the Christmas time happens. So,
happy holidays.
Happy holidays, all that good stuff. Bye, y'all.
Goodbye.